Well, before I start the message, Jim was telling me that he has written lyrics to a hymn. The hymn is universal, but Jim wrote the lyrics. I said, boy, that's good. That would fit my sermon to a T. So he's going to read you what he wrote.
This is an answer to a hymn that's well known, and it's in every hymn book, and it is totally universal in scope. The name of the hymn is In Christ There Is No East or West. It's just totally universal. And it's a nice tune, and the tune we have in the Christogenia, but this new one is written to the same tune, and it's called As Jacob Slept, and it's my answer to this universal hymn. And it's based on Genesis 28, verses 10 through 14. As Jacob slept upon a stone, a dream became God's mouth. Thy seed shall spread to all the earth, the west, east, north, and south. In you and all your families shall all the earth be blessed. I shall be with you ere you go. Trust in my faithfulness. Our Lord was sent to Israel, God's only covenant race. Those born from God can trust in Him, redeemed by sovereign grace. With Christ there is a west and east, and so the prophets say, His chosen bride shall reign with Him upon that glorious day.
And you'll see why this fits into my sermon. Okay, let's put the verse up there. It's one verse. It's from Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 25. This is part 35 of the Unholy Seed. The verse reads, There is no hope. No, for I have loved racial aliens. And after racial strangers, I will go. You may be seated. I first have a couple things about the coronavirus pandemic. It may well have been that Big Pharma and Microsoft have come together to work on something called the ID 2020 Alliance. This alliance will combine vaccinations with implantable microchips to create digital IDs of all individuals that take the vaccine. And this was published in an article on October 24, 2019, Now the End Begins, written by Jeffrey Kreider. See, everyone gets an idea of what's going on. What a strange union. It gets worse. In 2018, the Perbright Institute was granted a patent. A patent for what? It was a coronavirus. The U.S. patent application has a number, and there it is. Pilbright is funded by Bill and Melinda Gates. And here's the strange thing. On October 18, 2019, Bill and Melinda Gates hosted a pandemic exercise called the Event 201, along with the World Economic Forum and Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. The event was based on a mock pandemic exercise and the need for a vaccine. And we have seen that all the times with these problems that we have. 1 month later, China has a coronavirus outbreak. If these vaccines, which they will no doubt say are mandatory, they create, have RFID microchips in them, and everyone is moved to take the vaccine either by fear or force, then they would have successfully chipped everyone. With that, they'll be able to control and monitor the lives of everyone. If their intention is to get everyone chipped, an easy way to do that would be to put the chip in the vaccine that fights the virus causing the pandemic that they have created. Now, we get to the sermon. In Richard Hoskin's book, In the Beginning, The Story of the International Trade Cartel, Chapter 4, it takes the first four pages talking about a town in Virginia. Like I say, where I work, I read about 3 hours a day. So I reread, and I take my time, and I Google what I find. That's what happened. He talks about this town in Virginia. It was a town that was in Buckingham County on the banks of the James River. The James River was named after King James I of England, which is most of the Bible's King James, as was Jamestown, Virginia, the first settlement of the English in 1607. So I'm going to quote a part from chapter 4 in the book. It says, quote, "The route led through Buckingham's back roads. Buckingham is a poor county. There aren't many people living there. The winding road through the pine forest seemed interminable. At last I encountered a sign pointing to a left turn which said, 'Welcome, Sachidandia Ashram Yogaville, Lotus Shrine, 5/8 of a mile, Visitor Shrine, 3/4 of a mile. It's from the same book on page 30. And I've got a picture of what he saw. So there it is. It's exactly what he said he saw. What kind of town was this that Richard Hoskins went to see? On the next page, page 31 of his book, in the beginning, he stated that, and again I'm quoting from his book, it says, "There were 750 acres in Yogaville, and perhaps 60 swamis, which are teachers, both male and female. Private interest has bought 250 acres across the road, which are in the process of being subdivided into building lots. It was a town built for the Hindus," unquote. Well, that was interesting, so I Googled that. And I found out the town was founded by one of the Hindu gurus. Now, I may not get his name correctly said, but it's Sure Swami Sachidandia, whose real name was C.K. Ramsey Swami Gounder. He was born in India, where he lived a normal life with his wife. But his wife died when he was young, so he set out to find a more religious life. We will skip most of his life story and get to the next question. How did he get to America? How did he purchase the land and build the Hindu temple in Virginia? Cost a lot of money. All those acres, all those buildings. How did a Hindu guru get to America when he was 60 years old and then get the money to build a whole Hindu town with hundreds of acres in a beautiful setting in Virginia? Hindu priests take a vow of poverty, just like one of the so-called Christian denominations. Most of us lived through the period when he was invited and came to the United States. I don't remember when he came. In fact, I didn't even know that he did come. I didn't even know who he was. I didn't have any idea who invited him. So I didn't know anything about it. But I found out it was psychedelic artist Peter Max Finkelstein, son of German Jews, who, one, was born in Berlin, Germany, two, lived for 10 years in Shanghai, China, three, lived for several years in Haifa, Israel, four, lived for several months in India and Africa and Paris, France, five, lived finally in Brooklyn, New York. I heard Mark talk about these psychedelic artists. He said he didn't think it was much of art. Anyway, this was the individual who invited Sher Swami Sachidananda to come to America. He came in the year 1966. Shari stayed in the home of Peter and his friend Victor Zerbel for a couple of days. He held yoga classes in several different locations and soon gained more and more notoriety. Within 3 years, his popularity had grown so much that he gave the introductory prayer at Woodstock in 1969. Now, I was aware of Woodstock, but I didn't know he gave the introductory prayer. There were almost 500,000 people, mostly youngsters, who attended that music festival in New York. Here is what he said, word for word, with my comments in brackets at Woodstock. Look at that picture. 450,000 people. He's there. Here's all the teachers there. He got up, sat there. It's the introductory prayer. I never knew he gave it. So when I heard it, you can hear it on the YouTube. So I copied his introductory remarks. I made comments about it. Here's his speech. He starts out, "My beloved brothers and sisters." Well, I got a comment right there. The Hindu priest had universal brothers and sisters. Everyone was classified as being of the same seed line as he was. Now back to his speech. "I am overwhelmed with joy to see the entire youth of America gathered here in the name of the fine art of music." I got to make a comment about that one. Sherry said the youth of America that was at Woodstock was gathered together in the name, not of the Lord God of Israel, but in the name of the fine art of music. Many musicians would question the fine art of music that was played at Woodstock, as they would say it was the corrupted art of music. Well, back to his speech. "In fact, through the music, we can work wonders. Music is a celestial sound, and it is the sound that controls the whole universe, not atomic vibrations. Sound energy, sound power is much, much greater than any other power in this world." Well, I got to make a comment on that little paragraph that he gave. Music is a celestial sound. Does that mean that all kinds of music are celestial sounds? Country, rock and roll, hip-hop, classical hymns, etc. are all a celestial sound, all of them. Sound, energy, and power are much greater than any other power in this world. That would mean it's more powerful than the Word of God. Now back to his speech. "And one thing I would very much wish you all to remember is that with sound we can make, and at the same time, break. Even in the war field, to make the tender heart an animal, sound is used. Without that war band, that terrific sound, man will not become animal to kill his own brethren. So that proves that you can break with sound, and if we care, we can make also." I have to give another comment. Does music control the whole universe? There is music that makes you sad, happy, want to dance, want to worship, go to war, and stay at peace. Isn't there a huge difference between hymns and hip-hop? Back to this introductory speech at Woodstock. The Hindu guru says, "So I am very happy to see that we are all here gathered to create some sounds, to find that peace and joy through the celestial music. And I am really very much honored for having been given this opportunity of opening this great, great music festival. I should have come a little earlier to do that job, but as you all know, thousands of brothers and sisters are on the way here, and it's not that easy to reach here. The first guy that played, he was late. There were 450,000 people, and so a little farmland was pretty much traffic jam. I think they took him by helicopter, flew him over the cars to get him there in time to open up to prayer. Anyway, I'll make a little comment about what he just said. Woodstock produced celestial music, music that brought peace and joy. That is debatable. Many will say that the music came from the pit. All music is not celestial music. Then the guru says, America leads the world in several ways. Very recently, when I was in the East, the grandson of Mahatma Gandhi met me and asked me, what's happening in America? And I said, America is becoming a whole. America is helping everybody in the material field. But the time has come for America to help the whole world with spirituality also. And that's why from the length and breadth we see people, thousands of people, yoga-minded, spiritual-minded. The whole of last month I was in Hawaii and I was on the West Coast and witnessed it again. I have to make another comment. America is to help the world in spirituality. Does the Bible say this? Where did the Hindu priest get this idea? Is America to be yoga-minded? What does yoga have to do with Christianity? Let's get back to his speech. He says, so let all our actions and all our arts express yoga. Through the sacred art of music, let us find peace that will pervade over the globe. Often we hear groups of people shouting, fight for peace. I don't understand how they're going to fight and then find peace. Therefore, let us not fight for peace, but let us find peace within ourselves first. I got to make another comment. He said, let all our actions and arts express yoga. There's nothing I ever done that expressed yoga in my entire life. What religion is Sari teaching? Well, he's teaching Hinduism and Buddhism. Through music, we will find peace within ourselves that would provide peace in the entire world. This is not what Christianity teaches. This is what Hinduism teaches. Dharma or tolerance. Now back to the introductory speech of the Hindu guru at Woodstock. And the future of the whole world is in your hands. Now he's speaking to 450,000 people. You can make or break. But you are really here to make the world and not to break it. I am seeing it. There is a dynamic manpower here. The hearts are meeting. Just yesterday I was in Princeton at Stony Brook in a monastery where about 200 or 300 Catholic monks and nuns met, and they asked me to talk to them under the heading of East and West, One Heart. Here, I really wonder whether I'm in the East or the West. If these pictures or the films are going to be shown in India, they would certainly never believe that this is taken in America. For here, the East has come into the West. And with all my heart, I wish a great, great success in this music festival to pave the way for many more music festivals in many parts of this country. I have to make another comment about his speech. The future of the whole world is in your hands, and there is a dynamic manpower here. I don't think there was a dynamic manpower that was there, but a dynamic demonic power that was there. The East has come to the West. Not the other way around. The West hasn't come to the East. The East has come to the West. The Israel nations of the West have accepted the religions of the East, despite their God's strict warnings. And the Hindu leader wishes for more immoral, drug-infested, loud and sensual music festivals in other parts of our country. Now back to his speech. But the entire success is in your hands, not in the hands of a few organizers. Naturally, they have come forward to do some job. I have met them. I admire them. But still, in your hands, the success lies. The entire world is going to watch this. The entire world is going to know that what the American youth can do to the humanity. So every one of you should be responsible for the success of this festival. Got to make another comment. Everyone who was at the festival, all 450,000 of them, that's almost half a million, are responsible for the success of this festival? Are you kidding me? And then comes the real bad part of a speech. What do you think he's going to say? This floored me. I'm glad I was sitting down when I read the next part. What do you think he's going to say? Well, I'll go back to speech and tell you. And before I conclude my talk, I would like you all to join me and our group here in repeating a very simple chant. As I was reminding you of the sound power, there are certain mystical sounds that the Sanskrit terminology says are the bijaksara, or the seed words. We are going to use three seed words of the mystic. The mystic words, now we're getting someplace, to formulate the chants. And if you all join wholeheartedly, after the chant, we are going to have at least 1 whole minute of absolute silence. Not even the cameras will click at this time. And in that silent period, that 1 minute of silence, you are going to feel the great, great power of that sound and the wonderful peace that it can bring in you and into the whole world. Let us have a sample of that now. The words will be, Hari is one word, Om is another. The first chant will have these two words. It's even easy for us, for the men choir, to memorize these two words. It goes, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om. The second line, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Om. I have to give a comment. Om is the name of the consort of Shiva, the mother goddess. The other name is Kari, the goddess of death. Oh, it's one of their gods. This is a universal mantra that removes suffering. They are used in practicing yoga. They are used in practicing yoga. They are used in practicing yoga. Chanting mantras unites mind, body, and sound, but omits the spirit, adding a deeper level of consciousness. Chant softly, chant loudly, or even internally, depending on your mood and surroundings. Chanting influences your mental and emotional energy. Is this Christianity? No chanting is forbidden in our Bibles. But the guru continues. Now we're back to his speech. There will be another chant afterwards. Just a one-word chant, Rama. We'll be repeating Rama, 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 Ram. It is a sample. It's very easy to follow with everybody, and we'll have a gentle clapping also. So now we'll begin in a slow rhythm and gradually build it up. Now I request all my friends to join me. We repeat the line once, then allow you to follow. The entire festival. The entire festival. Then chanted the Hari Om chant together. My comment. The chants are for signifying the gods of the Hindus. It provides a mean for the demons to enter the bodies of the chanter. It's like the rosary that the Roman Catholics say. Back to the Hindu speech. Thank you all very much. The East has come to the West. You couldn't tell if this was America or India. And once again, let me express my sincere wish and prayers for the success and peace of this celebration. Thank you. I got to make another comment. Would the guru also bless the same way the other musical festivals that are in other countries of the world? For example, this is the 15th year of Tomorrowland, which is held in Belgium and Europe. It was postponed due to the coronavirus. Refer to my sermon if you're interested. It's anti-Christian. Well, that was his speech. I never heard it before. They chanted celestial music. Then why were the churches in an uproar about what was going on in Woodstock? Well, I'll continue. As time went on, the Hindu priest's fame also grew. He soon gained more and more notable disciples, mostly entertainers. Who do you think joined him? Well, I found one. One was music composer and singer Carole King. As Sri Swami Sachidananda was not his birth name, nor was Carole King her real name. Her birth name was Carole Joan Klein, who was born of Jewish parents. King made 25 solo albums, the most successful being Tapestry, which held the record for most weeks at number one by a female artist for more than 20 years. Her record sales were estimated at more than 75 million copies worldwide. She has won 4 Grammy Awards and was inducted in the Songwriters Hall of Fame and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for her songwriting. She is a recipient of the 2013 Library of Congress Gershwin Prize for Popular Song and the first woman to be so honored. She is also a 2015 Kennedy Center honoree. Now, the next paragraph is very interesting. I just floored me. As an interesting side story, Carole King, or Carole Joan Klein, dated Neil Sedaka while they both were in high school. Neil Sedaka and Carole King dated. He made a hit song in 1959 that was called Oh, Carole. I remember that song and didn't have any idea that it was written about her. I didn't even know that they knew each other, let alone that they dated each other. As it turned out, Carol didn't marry Neil, but she had four marriages. After her first divorce, King moved to Laurel Canyon and Los Angeles with her two daughters. Are you surprised? Refer to my other sermon about this town in California. But she would eventually purchase hundreds of acres in Connecticut, as well as elsewhere, and had a home in the town of Canaan. Canaan? Carol King had a home in Canaan, Connecticut? You can't make this stuff up. It was her many acres in Connecticut that Carol gave to her guru, Satchidananda, that he sold in 1979 to buy 600 acres of land in Buckingham County, Virginia. The Hindu guru bought the land in Virginia for the money that he got from selling the land that Carol King had given him in Connecticut. Like I said before, you can't make this stuff up. Swami Satchidananda created his own ashram called Yogaville. Yogaville became a compound for the Swami's most devoted followers and eventually the site of the so-called Lotus. L was for light, O is for of, T is for truth, U is for universal, and S is for shrine. The light of truth of the life of truth of Universal Shrine was dedicated. More than half of the Hindu guru's serious students were Jewish. However, contrary to the Swami's supposed status as a celibate Hindu monk, and despite the requirement that many of his devotees not marry and refrain from sex, Satchidananda was plagued by allegations of sexual misconduct. In 1991, numerous female followers stated that he had used his role as their spiritual mentor to exploit them sexually. One of Satchidananda's former personal secretaries, an alleged victim, said, quote, "I feel betrayed," unquote. Sounds like the Bidens. You know, he got another case of sexual misconduct, and the major networks don't even report it. Only one network reported it. Well, back to Carole King. She was a masterful songwriter and singer, and there's a picture of her. I think you've no doubt seen that she is Jewish. And her real name is Carol Joan Klein. The songs on her album Tapestry, you might remember some of them. Number 11, You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman. That was a big song by Aretha Franklin, gave that or someone else. She also wrote the songs Up on the Roof. I think that's by the Drifters. The Locomotion. Go Away, Little Girl. I'm Into Something Good. If It's Over. She has a whole bunch of songwriting hits. Now I'm going to show you some pictures of Yogaville. This is the Lotus. Right there tells you what it stands for. Light of Truth Universal Shrine. It's the first interfaith. Interfaith. To house altars for all the world's faiths. Here's a picture of the whole thing. There's the James River. It's like a lotus flower. And then I found this. I'm going to give a quote by the big guru, but look at this. Six-pointed star. Oh, Islam. Look at it. All these religions. I'm going to give a quote from the big Sir Swami Satchidananda. Here's his quote. In order to have a better world, a more peaceful world, we must learn to love, respect, and honor every human being. celebrate and enjoy the diversity because you recognize the underlying unity. It's time to know each other and to live as one global family. I have noticed in this kind of virus epidemic we're having, the anchors say we're all in this together. They're teaching Hinduism, not Christianity. And here's a picture of the boundless giving, the life and service of Sir Swami Satchidananda. And there's the red dot right in his head. Hinduism is an interfaith religion. The distinctive teachings blend the physical discipline of yoga, the spiritual philosophy of India, and the interfaith ideals. These techniques and concepts influence a generation and spawned a yoga culture that is flourishing today. Hindus accept all gods. Hindus accept all gods. No god is exempt. They are tolerant towards the claim of rival deities. They can do this because they identify divine beings who are newly sprung into popular favor as the incarnation of either Vishnu or Shiva. In other words, Jesus is accepted as the rebirth of a Hindu god with a new name. Hinduism is the original ecumenism. The one world belief that all gods are basically the same is the basic Hindu belief. My last paragraph, I'll tell you one thing they do not accept. Currently, over 35 million Americans and 300 million worldwide practice yoga as a means for managing stress, promoting health, slowing down the aging process, and creating a more meaningful life. The teachings of Swami Satchidananda has spread into the mainstream with over 30 integral yoga institutes and centers on 6 continents. Today, integral yoga institutes, teaching centers, and certified teachers throughout the United States and abroad offer classes, workshops, retreats, and teacher training programs featuring all aspects of integral yoga. The integral yoga community includes over 5,000 integral yoga teachers, many of whom have become leaders in the changing paradigm of modern yoga and healthcare, as well as founding successful programs for specific populations. Now, a while ago, I got from Corey a magazine from Elmore County, Alabama. So I've got that magazine. So I'm going to tell you about that magazine. In Elmore County, Alabama, their magazine for November 2019 featured on the cover the picture of a yoga instructor who owns Harmony Yoga. It's a picture of her. The magazine also contained an article entitled, Yoga Empowers an Electric. Now, Electric is a city in Elmore County. The magazine says, now I'm quoting from the magazine, quote, Harmony Yoga offers classes in chair yoga, power yoga, restorative yoga, Vinyasa flow yoga, and yin yoga. The classes vary in intensity and purpose. For example, restorative yoga is for relaxing and desensitizing, de-stressing, while yin is a blend of yoga, flow, and holding poses, unquote. The article continues that the instructor, quote, teaches her clients to tune in and listen to their own bodies as they learn proper alignment and form. While some attend classes at the recommendation of their physicians, Most are there because they're eager to begin a practice about learning, after learning there are many benefits of yoga, unquote. You might wonder where Elmore County is in Alabama. Well, I'll show you. There's Montgomery. There's the county right above where Montgomery is. Well, I've got to say a little bit about this. So there's many universities, high schools, including church schools, YMCAs, recreational clubs that have introduced many of their students to yoga. Even our local school system taught yoga to its students. It was many years ago, but I went to the principal and explained to her that yoga was against Christian teaching. She explained that she was in yoga class that her church sponsored. I explained to her that I would go to the next Board of Education meeting and complain unless the gym class would stop teaching yoga. I don't know if you're here when I did that, but I announced I was doing that. Fortunately, they sent the gym teacher in and said she would stop doing it. They dropped yoga, but I think that they soon were teaching it again. When did yoga come to the West? When I was in high school, there were no yoga classes offered. It was practically unknown. Yoga became popular in the West around the same time of the explosion of the drug culture in the 1960s and the growth of certain types of music. Many people involved with psychedelic drugs and rock and roll music were, and still are today, attracted to any experience that offered an expansion of consciousness or a change of perceived reality. It was due to this changing Western drug culture that many Hindu missionaries slowly began to realize that through the new psychedelic experiences, the West was now entertaining a transcendental experience. Mind expansion or altered states of conscious, you've heard of that, altered state of conscious, and a search for spirituality without the constraints of religion, God's not involved in anything, see, were suddenly what many of the youth were searching for. Anything, and that included yoga, that offered a new experience was sought after with great interest. Very few questions were asked as to the source of the new highs and experiences. Thus, the West was gradually introduced to an ancient Eastern religion through the medium of yoga. In Hindu and Buddhist writings, yoga is described as the only sure way of escaping the endless cycle of reincarnation. They believe in reincarnation. When they die, if they're good, they will go up to a higher status in life. If they're bad, they go to a lower status. If they're real bad, they'll go to an animal. That's why they don't kill any animals. When that animal dies, if they're good, they go up. If they're bad, they go down. And the laws of karma. Oh, karma, you hear that all the time now, don't you? Thereby enabling someone to reach the Hindu and Buddhist ideas of heaven. Hindu's great goal is to become a god. Sounds like Mormonism. Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Who said that? Serpent to Eve. The physical exercises and positions, along with the breathing techniques and meditation, were originally developed for the very spiritual and religious reasons. Some of the positions in yoga are not quite as harmless as they may appear, but are obviously of occult origin, like many other things that have occult origins. Ouija boards, tarot cards, astrology signs, and symbols may all seem harmless to some, but like yoga, they have an idea attached. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 and 11. There shall not be found among you that use divination. That would include Ouija boards, tarot cards, fortune telling, or an observer of times. Horoscopes. Did you ever read a horoscope? I used to as a youngster. Or an enchanter, hex or voodoo. Or a witch, witches and witchcraft. Or a charmer, potions. Or a consulter, a fortune teller. Did you ever go to a fortune teller? I went to one when I was about 10 years old. Or a wizard or a necromancer, contact with the dead. It was Lord Krishna who introduced the ritual of yoga as a way of achieving union with the universe. Yoga means union. Yoga aims at bringing about the union of the person with demonic power. Ironically, while yoga is in the West is often promoted to achieve health and a better way of living, in the East where it originated, it is more openly understood to be a way of dying. A Christian should not be taking yoga classes. Now, Buddhist temple. Well, Yogaville is in the state of Virginia. As I was researching on the internet, I found this Buddhist temple. It is in America. If you visit on a sunny day, it glistens and sparkles. The colorfulness and shrine are out of place in the neighborhood. The backyard is surrounded by a low brick wall, and every brick column is a shrine to someone who has died. Here's a picture of it. The temple was built by the local Laotian community and is an important gathering place for them. The temple was very ornate with two sets of dragons on both sides of the steps leading to the front entrance. Dragons. See, dragons and serpents are always other religions. There are spires and golden flames on the roof and lots of decorative columns all around the building. It was dedicated on June 13, 2009 and is known as the Leo Buddhist Temple. I wonder if anybody knew where it was. I had no idea where it was. It is located in Columbus, Ohio. Can you believe that? That's about an hour and a half drive by car from our church. Well, my conclusion. 41 years ago, Shriar Swami Satchidananda bought the land in Virginia and began to build his Hindu temple. It became the source of yoga instructors, meditation classes, and a lot of people doing meditation now too, and the subtle Hindu and Buddhist teachings. Did you know this? The transformation of the Buddha into a Christian figure demonstrates how much the two spiritual traditions share and reveals medieval Christian piety. The Buddha, or Siddhartha Gautama, was born to a noble family in India in the 4th or 5th century B.C. Renouncing his wealth to pursue wisdom, he founded what became one of the world's most important spiritual traditions. Now we're getting to the good part. Fantastic versions of his biography with his sermons and parables exploded after his death. The stories traveled through Asia, reaching the frontiers of Europe by the 10th century A.D. Monks in the Byzantine Empire took the story for their own. The Roman Catholic Church made Buddha a saint. Did you know that, ex-Catholics? The Roman Catholic Church made Buddha, who is not a Christian, who does not claim to be a Christian, who is the leader of a rival religion, a saint. That makes the Roman Catholic Church what? Then there is the Laotian Buddhist Temple in Columbus, Ohio. The building was dedicated 11 years ago. Remember, Buddha is a Roman Catholic saint. Hindu worship is represented by the serpent. The snake sheds his skin and is reborn. The Hindu sees it as reincarnation, an example of immortality. Eve was deceived by a serpent. Vishnu, brother to Siva, rests on a great snake. The serpent is always present as the enemy of our Lord God of Israel, and the consort of Siva is Uma. Does anyone know where this Buddhist temple is located? It looks like a big Buddha, right? Does anybody know where this Buddhist temple is located? That one's not in the front yard. But they do have it. Where's this one located? I was shocked. It's located less than a half-hour drive by car from our church. It is located 1831 Miles Road, Cincinnati, Ohio. May our God forgive us for allowing these false religions for having a place in our nation. I'll give a couple of verses. Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Mark 3:13. Making the world, the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such things like things you do ye. Now I'll come to the last paragraph. I told you there's one thing they will not tolerate. The East has come to the West, no doubt about it. You remember the Beatles? They went over there, had a big guru and sat with him and all that stuff and wrote many songs with him. Hey. It's come here, it's changed our religion. I'm going to tell you what they will not tolerate. Here it is. Hinduism does not condemn homosexuality. Well, homosexuality has just blossomed in this country, right? Last 40 years, it's booming. Pedophilia, that's booming too. Infidelity, that's booming. Cremation, that's booming. But they do attack one God religions. This is the reason the Christian nations of separatist Western peoples are marked for destruction. Christian people have always rejected something. What do we always reject? Other gods. They are Christian or nothing. This racial trait is the reason they have been condemned to death. Let us remain vigilant that we will always worship the one God of Israel. To be continued, blessed be the Lord God of, not the Hindus, the Lord God of Israel.